Right, Mark 15:33-39. Okay. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching him from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. I've done well this morning, haven't I? I should be just a 39, but...
Thanks, Sue, for that. Can I, again, give you a very warm welcome here. My name's Stephen, one of the elders here at the church. We're going to look at those words that Sue read for us in just a minute. Let me pray as we begin. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you. It gives us meaning, shows us what life is really about. And so, Lord, we do pray as we look at these verses now in these next few moments. We pray that you'd bless us. Help me as I speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, if you've been around over this Easter period here at Hope Church, you know we've been looking at riddles in the Bible. We've been seeing the riddle of the donkey, the riddle of the fig tree. And today we're going to be looking at the riddle of the darkness and the curtain. Now, when you see a riddle, you should be saying, "What's going on here?" And I wonder if we can say that together. What's going on here? In my mind, that said like a northerner, like a scouser. So if you can think about that, what's going on here? That's been in my mind all week. So there's going to be other times where we're going to say it. It may sound like that or it may not. So the riddle of the darkness and the curtain. It sounds a bit like a Harry Potter story, doesn't it? And actually, in this riddle, there is something mysterious. There's something strange going on here that we need to explore. Like, why is it getting dark in the middle of the day? And why is there a curtain being torn in two? These things don't happen every day, do they? We do experience sometimes extreme weather situations, don't we? I once was on holiday in Scotland. We were visiting a castle for some reason. And the rain just hammered down. It was probably the heaviest rain I've ever seen. And it was bouncing on the car. And I felt like I should experience this for myself. So I actually got out of the car in the car park just to get drenched by this rain. Absolutely soaked through. We see this, don't we? We see extreme weather sometimes. You might remember in March 22 in London, we had this extreme weather condition. It was the desert sand came across into London, and during the day the light faded. I don't know if anyone remembers this, And suddenly it was dark in the day. I was like, what is going on here? That's what I did say. What's going on here? We see this, don't we? We see extreme weather conditions. Well, you might have noticed at the start of the passage we've just read, there's an extreme weather condition, isn't there? It says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. Extreme darkness in the middle of the day. It's a riddle. What's going on here? 3 hours of darkness. And that is my first point. The darkness comes and Jesus is alone. Now, I wonder if anyone could think about any dark places maybe you've seen or you've been to. Maybe if you can put, kids, if you can put up your hands and you can tell me a dark place. Anyone can think of a dark place that you'd like to share? Any ideas? Or adults? Yeah, Siki. The woods. Yeah, the woods can be dark, aren't they? The trees block the sun. Yeah, Chloe. A cave, that's very dark. There's no light in caves. That's where bats live, isn't it? Any other dark places? Yeah, Mandy. Under the sea, yeah, deep down. Deep down in the sea, it's very dark. Have you been there yourself? Yeah. We get these dark places, don't we? And that's what's happening at the start of this passage. There's extreme weather. There's a darkness in the middle of the day. And we need to know what's going on. Why is this happening? And this morning, hopefully, we'll be going to become a bit of an expert on this darkness. We're going to be like a weather reporter, knowing what's happening at this time. And for us to find out really what's happening, why is it getting dark, the best place for us to go, the best place for us to investigate is the Bible itself. And the first place we can go to is a place in the Old Testament, a book called Amos. And just listen to what Amos says about this day. He says, in that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. This is an amazing event. The sun going down at noon. Just imagine it. Maybe you're there eating your lunch at midday. You're having your ham sandwiches. And you look out the window and the sun begins to fade and the darkness comes. This isn't a normal event. This is supernatural. And this is the riddle of the darkness. And it means something, but what does it mean? Well, we get a clue about what this darkness means in another book in the Old Testament. Psalm 18 is a song. And we get this picture of a king who's in trouble, who needs rescuing. And who comes to rescue this king? Well, it is God himself. And God comes as the rescuer, but how? He comes in darkness. God comes in darkness to rescue the king. And he not only comes to rescue the king, but he also comes to deliver justice on the king's enemies. Let's listen to the song.
Trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky.
So we see here from this song that darkness represents God coming as one who is angry. God coming to those who are against him. And we see often, don't we, if you ever watch a film, When darkness comes and darkness descends, and the dark clouds descend, It's a threat, isn't it? It's like a villain or a threatening figure, like Darth Vader maybe, coming as a threat in darkness, if that's the things you like. And we see here that's what's going on. There's darkness. But it isn't just a freak weather episode that's just happened. It has meaning. And now, I wonder if you noticed, as the reading was read, when did it go dark? At what point in the story did it go dark? Well, actually, it was the exact time Jesus was nailed to the cross. And from all that we've seen in the Old Testament, we see that this darkness on the cross is Jesus experiencing the anger and judgment of God. Today we celebrate Good Friday, don't we? But actually, this day was truly a dark Friday. It's a dark day, isn't it? It's a bit like when a prisoner gets sent to prison and has to go and begin his sentence. Well, in the same way, Jesus is hanging on the cross and he's experiencing divine justice. For what crime? What crime did Jesus commit? Why was he hanging there? Why was he experiencing this divine justice? Well, actually, Jesus didn't have any crime on his record. We read in Hebrews, it says, "We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Jesus didn't commit any crime. He didn't sin. He didn't disobey God's righteous ways. He didn't rebel against God. He didn't choose a way apart from God. That is what the Bible calls sin. And actually, it's something that God doesn't treat lightly. Because of sin, there has to be a divine justice. There has to be a cost to be paid. There has to be a demand. There has to be a justice that has to be served. And the amazing thing about this passage is that Jesus hangs on the cross and he takes this divine justice on himself. We're going to be singing a bit later on in the service a great song, and the chorus goes like this. And it says, "This, the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross." Now, with all this talk of divine judgment and darkness, it doesn't sound like a Good Friday, does it? We're here to celebrate Good Friday. And you might be thinking, I thought Easter was all about chocolate and bunnies and little chicks. Sounds a lot more positive than all of this stuff. But actually, there's more. In one sense, it might even get worse. We see that Jesus hangs on the cross in darkness. And as he hangs in this dark place, we hear his words.
And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Do we hear what Jesus is saying here? Do we understand what Jesus is going through? He says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That is, why have you left me alone? We have been in a relationship throughout all eternity. Now you've left me alone. Now, I'm sure we know what it is like to be alone, don't we? Very often we don't like to be alone. But here Jesus is not only alone, but he's alone in the dark, experiencing the divine judgment of God. So Jesus is alone in the dark, taking the wrath of God. He's alone, and he breathes his last. And it's a dark day. It's a very dark day. But the good news, that this isn't the end of the story. So if you're feeling the weight of that, don't despair. We need to look at the curtain. And that is great news. Okay, well, we're up to part two of this riddle. The riddle of the darkness and the curtain. And we're looking at the riddle of the curtain. So we find ourselves looking at Jesus on the cross, going through all that he goes through. And the scene switches like a film with all the action, maybe on a battlefield, with all the noise and the sound. And the scene switches to another place. And our focus changes. And that's what happens here on the cross. Our focus changes from Jesus hanging on the cross to another scene. To the scene of the temple and the curtain. Why? Why does it do this? Well, it's a riddle. And we need to say, what's going on here? Well, we need to understand, what is this curtain about? Why is there a curtain here at this point in the story? Well, every curtain has a purpose, doesn't it? I'm sure at home you've got a curtain. You've got maybe a curtain to hide something away. Or maybe if you're a child, maybe you've got a curtain that you like to hide behind. Hide from your parents. That's a fun game, isn't it? Maybe you've got a newborn baby and you've got a blackout curtain to cover every aspect of the window so that no light can get through. So we can keep that baby sleeping. Very important. Well, curtains are important, aren't they? We've got some nice blue curtains here, all the way along here. I mean, I nearly lost the morning this week researching curtains and the history of them. It's very exciting. And we could go into so much detail about curtains if you want, but we probably don't have time, and you probably thought, well, that's not why I've come to church today. But just maybe to humour me, I've got a few pictures of curtains. And you can vote if you want, if you'd like a look at them. Maybe you'd like to have some of these in your house. First we've got is a Chinese satin curtain. That's very nice, isn't it? It feels a bit like I'm on a sort of shopping channel now, and I'm sort of giving you options. Anyone like this in your house? No? Oh yeah, Avery, yeah. I would like it. If we ever move house, this is what I want. Maybe this is something more to your liking. Maybe you've been to Egypt on holiday and you had a great time and you want to experience it again. Well, there you go. You can have something like that. Maybe closer to home. Maybe you enjoy going up to London on the train and having a day out in London. Well, you can have it in your house and you can have it in your bedroom maybe. You can wake up every day and you can see Big Ben. I think that's a great, great day out and I look forward to that again. Maybe you've had a romantic weekend in Paris, underneath the Eiffel Tower, in the rain probably, as I experienced last year. Maybe that's the last year's place. Anyone fancy that? Any hands up? No? I didn't think that one would get much, but there we go. What about this one? Now, this one I'm going to show, you have to be ready for this one, okay? What about that? You like that in your bedroom? Wow. I'd be a bit scared of that, waking up every morning to that. Especially with the light coming through it. It's a scene, isn't it? Now, you might think I've lost it a little bit and why are we looking at all these curtains? But it's important, actually, for us to think about curtains. Even more so, the history of the curtain in the Bible. You know, there is a history of the curtains in the Bible. Ever since the Israelites left Egypt to go to the desert, they had a curtain. If you want to read about this, you can do in Exodus 39 and Leviticus 16. It's amazing to trace the history of the curtain. And now, why is that important? Well, we need to remember at the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve, the very first day, God wanted to be in a relationship with us. You see, God isn't just a distant God out there as a force, but God is a God who wants a relationship. And we see that there in the Garden of Eden. But because of sin, there's now a separation. But God doesn't change. God is still a God who wants a relationship with us. But God is holy. God is perfect and without sin. He is absolutely pure and altogether good. And for God to continue to live with us here on earth, there has to be some conditions to meet. Maybe over these Easter holidays you've had people around, maybe a friend to play. Maybe you've had people around for dinner. And what do you do when you have people around? You tidy up, don't you? Maybe you have to tidy your room. Or maybe if you're an adult, you tidy the whole house. But if we are to get ready for God to come, we need to be ready. And how are we to get ready for God to come? We need to build a temple. Now, who in the Bible built the temple? Does anyone know? Which king was it?
David.
Wasn't David, but he was just before it.
King Saul?
No, not King Saul.
King Solomon.
Fantastic, yeah, King Solomon. King Solomon had this temple built with all the stones and all the materials, all this fantastic building. Solomon built this, but why did he build it? It was for God to live with the people. God wanted to live with the people in relationship with them. And you know, one of the most important parts of the temple is this. It's the curtain. The curtain's in the temple. And it's very important. They wouldn't have forgot about this. They would have known about it if they hadn't had the curtain. See, what was the point of the curtain in the temple? Well, the curtain separates us from a holy God. It separates a sinful people from a holy God. And it's a reminder that we can't just approach God in any way, but we need to be kept safe. It's a bit like if you're at the theatre, you've got this safety curtain. Just says safety curtain all over it. Well, that's what it is. This is a safety curtain. It keeps us safe from the presence of God, the holiest of God, because God cannot be with sin, and we are sinful. So what happens when Jesus is on the cross? What happens to this curtain? Well, it says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This is an amazing event. This curtain had been in the temple for years and years and years. This curtain, which was 18 meters high, it was 9 meters wide. It had been there for years and years and years. It was keeping the people safe from the presence of God. And as Jesus dies on the cross, this curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. It's a supernatural event. Only God could do this. God tears this curtain from top to bottom. And if imagine you're in the temple at this time, you see this event occur. I'm sure you would feel the weight of that. You feel scared, maybe. You think this is the safety curtain. This is to protect us from God. And now the curtain has been torn in two. It's just gone. You'd be saying, "What's going on here? The curtain's gone. Are we safe?" But the great news is that they didn't die because they could now be safe. The way had been brought to have unhindered access to God. Now, I wonder, have you ever felt separate from somebody? Maybe you've got a friend at school that you used to talk to and they stopped talking to you. Maybe you've disobeyed your parents and they're not talking to you and they're unhappy with you. Maybe you're a parent and you've maybe treated your child harshly. And there's a separation there, there's a divide. There's an anguish. You long for the relationship to go back as it was. You long to have a warmth there. Well, how can we know that the relationship has been restored? How can we feel that we are back into a relationship with them? Well, the way we know is if we go to them and they maybe start talking to us again. Maybe your mum and dad, when you walk in a room and they've been angry with you and then they give you a big hug and you feel, oh, I'm back in a good relationship with them. There's been a restoration there. Well, in one sense, Jesus has made it possible for us to walk into the room where God is and have a restored relationship. Before there was a separation, but through Christ, we can go in, we can know God intimately. This intimacy has been restored. And we can have blessing, we can have joy, we can have forgiveness, and so much more. And this is what the cross has achieved. This is why the curtain was torn in two. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, taking the divine judgment of God, it shows that through what Jesus has done, there is now access to the Father. There's now access to God. It's a truly amazing event. It's a truly good Friday. This is why it is truly worth following Jesus. We can now have an intimacy with our Creator once again. And as we close, let's listen to these great verses from Hebrews, which we looked at a few weeks ago. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, that's the temple, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Jesus was alone to face the judgment of God so that we don't have to. He was alone in his very hour of need, separated from his Father, so that we, if we follow him, don't have to experience that judgment. And if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus today, this morning, even in our darkest days, maybe in the days where we sin and we feel separate in one sense from God, the curtain being torn in two shows that we can never be separated from him. We have a relationship with him forever. This is an amazing thing. It was a dark day that Jesus experienced, but for us, now we can live in eternal light, knowing God forever, knowing God for all eternity in a restored relationship, all for what Jesus did for us on the cross. It truly is a good Friday.